And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. West Virginia teachers defy state law and union to stage successful wildcat strike. Are Oklahoma and Arizona next? We are very pleased to have with us from around the country, actually, Erica Newsome, English teacher at Chapmansville High School in Logan County, West Virginia. Teresa Danks, a third grade teacher from Grimes Elementary School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Derek Harris, a middle school band teacher. Sorry, my favorite. Tucson Unified District, Arizona. This is from somebody who used to play the sousaphone, which was bigger than I was at the time.
Hear that, Derek?
So, so I have a real affinity for Derek. Thank you all for joining us. And let's, of course, begin with West Virginia. If we could take out the noisemakers and the blowers and the strike up the marching bands, kudos for the enormity of the conviction, the unity, and what was accomplished in this strike, which has really brought heart to, I think, labor activists around the country. So why don't you give us your take on what happened? What brought all this to a culmination in West Virginia? And, of course, thank all of you for being with us.
It's my pleasure. And of all the wildcat strikes, I had the honor and privilege of being part of the very first one, which included only three counties in southern West Virginia. There's a couple of factors why that was so. This was to be the third year that the public employees were the only ones absorbing the increased cost of health care. Now, we understand health care costs are going up everywhere, but, yeah, and we're always told, you know, we can't pay our teachers the most, but you will always have excellent benefits in retirement and health care. And, you know, it was just, I can't remember last time we had a cost of living raise. They gave us a little tiny bump early in the 2000s or so, but the last one raised was the last strike in 1990, 28 years ago. And I think it just all came to a head, and then everybody got the information about being required or having an extra $25 a month added to your monthly premium if you didn't participate in a literal tracking program called 365Go, where they track your biometrics. They ask you very personal health questions. You're required to download their app and everything like that. And that was just a, you know, combination of all those things. And we're talking some about the unions. And I'm a member of, you know, West Virginia's NEA chapter, and I really like the people I've worked with through there. But it is true, they did try to, they tried to get us to be more patient. And the part of West Virginia that the three counties are in that went out on the first wildcat strike, we experienced the mine wars, like the early 1900s, 1920, where, you know, the United Mine Workers tried to organize, and they were met with violence from our own U.S. military. You might win. You know, you're richer than us, you're more powerful than us, you might win. But if there is any chance at all that we can make a difference, you know, and all, and their solution is to lower the standards instead of raising our raise to barely a cost of living raise.
Let me just stop you for 1 minute, Erica, and that's just because our line here is a bit muddy, and you're saying too many important things to miss. So we're going to ask you, while we continue the conversation with Teresa and Derek, I'm going to ask you if you can hang up, and we're going to call you back directly, okay?
Okay.
Right,
sounds good.
So we're going to just pick up from there while we're reaching out to Erica on a better phone line. Teresa, Derek, what are some of your thoughts based on some of the things that Sister Erica was saying?
Teresa?
Well, I was going to say it sounds like we're marching in the same band in a lot of ways here in Oklahoma. We definitely, we had our last walkout strike in 1990 here, and we haven't seen anything positive happen in 28 years. In the last 20 years, teachers have been making appointments to see legislators, picketing at the Capitol, And teachers in Oklahoma we're now 50th out of 50, so we can't go any lower. And for pay, and we haven't had a raise in Oklahoma since 2008. And I guess walkout momentum that's grown in Oklahoma, you know, definitely we were inspired by West Virginia, but it's definitely been brewing here for a few years now. And we had a bill called Step Up Oklahoma that failed in February, and that really kind of lit a fire under people. And so me, as well as some other teachers, started really reaching out to teachers, trying to bring teachers together collectively to see how they felt, and numbers grew very quickly in that so many people across the state were just ready to walk out. Very fed up here. I call it righteous anger. They are very angry because, like she said, in West Virginia, we expect better, and we believe that our children deserve to be educated just as well as any children in any other state. And we can't recruit new teachers, we can't retain teachers, and we have a lot of teachers that are close to retirement. And what is now a crisis could easily be a tragedy within the next 6 months. We fear that buildings won't open next fall if they do not do something very soon.
Teresa, from what I understand, the union itself is getting involved in the call for the walkout this time, which is not something that happened initially in West Virginia.
Yes. Is that correct? Now, our union did not get involved right off the bat. It was, I think, after a lot of pressure from their members and so many teachers coming together that they did get on board. There's some controversy over whether or not what they're asking. They came up with a plan. So we really were fighting for a $10,000 raise just to bring us somewhat competitive to our region, and they pulled out a plan that would be $6,000 the first year, then two, and then two. But there's other bills that, if they pass, could take that completely out of the legislative hands and put things back in the local school district, so that could possibly create where that other money doesn't go to the teachers. So there's a lot of people that are still frustrated and not sure what's going to happen. And so we're just trying to keep the momentum moving forward. And we do have the support for our walkout. The date is set for April 2nd. So if legislator hasn't come back with something here in Oklahoma by the 1st, then we are having a statewide shutdown on April 2nd.
And we're going to move to Derek Harris. And when I said Zuzaphone, somebody said Z-O-O. Well, I'm from Brooklyn. It's John Philip Sousa. I got it. But that's
right.
How we said it at General John J. Pershing Junior High School. So we are now speaking with our band teacher in middle school, Derek Harris, from Tucson Unified District, Arizona. And we do have Erica Newsom back on the line, and she'll join us again in a moment. Derek, what's happening in Tucson, Arizona?
Well, our effort is not not localized. We're branched out across the state, trying to get as branched out as we can. We are just barely getting up on our feet for this, but just like in Oklahoma and West Virginia, people have been mad about this since the financial crisis in 2008. We had $1 billion cut from our public education budget in 2010, and all of the efforts that have gone into adjusting that, trying to recoup any of that loss, hasn't even been a drop in the bucket. I mean, even this year, the governor has proposed a $150 million budget increase for us, and that's not even a tenth of what's been cut, and it wouldn't even get us from 49th to 48th. It wouldn't even approach trying to make that move. We have issues with insurance as well. We have budgets that have been passed lately that have shifted the burden onto the employees away from the districts. And the state's role in a lot of this has been, the districts should control themselves, and we just can't afford to keep funding these schools. And yet Arizona is the testing ground for a lot of charter schools.
Hmm. So we're bringing Erica back into the picture, and we cut you off, but we have a much better line now. So do you think you could pick up where you left off, Erica?
I'm kind of trying to remember where exactly we left off. Just speaking of the wildcat strikes, the three counties that went out first, and that was one of them, you know, the lady from Oklahoma was talking about, like, just anger that really seemed to be catching on. And a lot of it is historical because of the mine wars that happened in this area around the turn of the 20th century. And people here have a long memory. And those people, those coal miners who wanted to form a union were actually, many of them were killed, you know, for wanting to demonstrate that and lost about everything they had. So you have people coming in and telling us that this is an illegal strike, but that doesn't really fly here. And it didn't really scare anybody whatsoever.
I want to know why, if I may, because I know that in my own union, and I've got a pretty wonderful shop, but nevertheless, even about filing a grievance, when the union proper is tentative about processing a grievance, particularly a shop-wide grievance, we generally capitulate. So I understand the incredible history of labor in West Virginia, but what brought this to a crescendo? Why weren't people more afraid of a reactionary governor, of a union that felt that its tactics had been exhausted and was certainly not encouraging such an action? Tell us a little bit more about really what made people come out in mass and drew the support of the community.
Yeah, and the community support has been just phenomenal. As to why they weren't really intimidated, I guess there's two schools of thought there. One of which, like I said, amount of openings for teachers and how many classrooms have uncertified teachers and are overcrowded classes because their kids don't have anywhere else to go, is at about a crisis level right now. So what are they going to do? Are they going to, they can't spare a single teacher to fire, let alone the entire state or, you know, the majority of the teachers of the state or even within our counties, fire everybody in Logan County. There's not people lined up to work there. And on the other hand, we have this idea of what else do we have to lose? You know, and I'm sorry to be a little cliche, but I've always been a big Game of Thrones fan. And it just reminded me a lot of what Cersei said in one of the episodes. She says, so we'll fight and die, or we'll submit and die. But I know my choice. And I think that was the general feeling, right? Like, what else is there to lose?
Derek, in terms of what else there is to lose, do you think that if the governor and the legislature increases the school budget, that they'll take it out of other programs for the poor and for other people in the state?
Yeah, that is a concern that we have. And we have not, you know, made any demands yet to anybody. We're still in the formulation side of that thing. But we've been watching the news as it comes through about West Virginia, and we're concerned about what could happen if we make demands and not get super specific about things. Fortunately, we have some people that are willing to help us with that research. But, you know, for instance, we keep lowering the corporate business tax in Arizona to, you know, quote unquote, invite businesses in. But at the same time, it allows predatory charter schools to come in and really take, you know, we have a voucher system here that allows people to take thousands of dollars of taxpayer money and just drop it into a private entity. And then, you know, there's no, it doesn't benefit the public schools at all. So we have these little nuanced issues that we have to deal with for sure.
And I want to go back to Teresa Dank, third grade teacher in Grimes Elementary School. Talk about what the conditions are like. Talk about what it means to teach there and what you think about the way teachers and thus children are treated and what that says about the priorities of this country.
Well, we have,
the circumstances vary a little bit from district to district, but we have teachers that literally can't, they and their students have to keep their coats on all day because the temperature is so cold in the classroom. We have lights that are burned out and half the building is closed. We have bathrooms that should probably not be used. The facilities are that bad. We have teachers that are being limited to 30 copies a day or a week. We have teachers like myself that are providing so many of their own hands-on manipulatives and games and resources to enrich and engage the children into the curriculum. I always try to explain to people if they don't understand what hands-on learning is. I was on the Harry Connick Jr. show, and I say, you know, if Harry Connick Jr. was only allowed to learn how to play the piano by watching it on a video or reading it out of a book, how good would he be today? Mm. And I'm like, everybody learns best when they can get their hands on things. And we've become this society of workbook pages and filling in bubbles and just, you know, pencil and paper. And some schools, sadly, aren't even providing that. But I spend thousands of dollars every year to give my children what they need. And also, when you live, when you're working in an urban city school district with a lot of low-income families, these children don't hardly leave their communities or their state, and so they don't have prior knowledge to fall back on. So we work even extra hard to try to bring as much of the world to them as possible so that they can better understand it and have a better, an authentic learning experience that will stay with them. So we are frustrated on so many levels. We feel disrespected in our profession. We are scripted. We've had a curriculum rollout that literally scripts us on what to say. A lot of teachers are very offended by that. We are micromanaged. We have a very top-heavy system with, and all this top-heavy administration, they all make really good incomes, six-figure incomes. Our legislators make six-figure incomes and want to tell us how to do our jobs, and there's just very little respect there. And so you put that together with the low pay and the high insurance costs and the increasing class sizes and not having the resources you need. And teachers are literally, they're at a boiling point, and they are just, they're erupting.
You know, if I may add into what something that Erica, or one of the questions you'd asked about, why haven't you know, teachers done something to this point, you know, why now and stuff like that. Teachers in general, you know, we live in these environments where we have to take care of all these students and these families connected to those students. And whenever we, a lot of times, you know, when you see teachers bringing their own materials into the classroom that they purchased out of their own pay, it's because we want so much for everything to just work. We just want it to be possible for the students to learn and do the best they can with what meager little we have. And so for a long time, teachers have just kind of been saying, well, we'll make it work. Well, we'll make it work. And it's just not, you know, as my local union president says, they've already cut all the fat. Now it's meat and bone.
Mm. And Derek, in terms of the attacks on public sector unions as exemplified by the Janus case in the Supreme Court, which a lot of people think are going to weaken public sector unions, is this kind of mobilization the antidote to that, or at least part of the antidote?
Well, I mean, you know, it's that's hard to say. You know, the group that I'm with, while I am a member of my union, the group that I'm actually organizing with is not connected to any of the unions, and we're just gathering as much steam as we can. You know, Arizona's a right-to-work state, and so we fight for every member that we can get. It would be great if we were able to secure more people into the unions, because we know that with numbers comes more voices, and with more voices comes the ability to get the respect that we deserve in ways that make sense for us to have.
Erica Newsom, what do you think some of the lessons are, or if you want to respond to any of the things that Teresa or Derek said, all of that's good.
Yeah, so a couple of things that Derek said. First, just a mention of the funding. The idea that this funding is coming from like Medicaid, Medicare and stuff, it was all based on one comment that Senator Blair said, who is the he's the finance committee chair, and he's been outspoken against us since the beginning. He says, well, we're not essentially he says, well, we're going to find the money somewhere. I guess we'll have to check with Medicaid and stuff. And that even that same day, the governor sat down and said, we're not touching Medicare or Medicaid. And the unions put out the percentages of where the funding was coming from. Was it Medicare or Medicaid? It's, you know, even within our own, like, movement, we still have people thinking that. And so when I started being active in this way back in the fall, I understood that it was a war of information. And like I said, I'm generally pro-union and everything, but Derek is also right on in terms of not just working with people within your union. A lot of those people are marching in West Virginia. We're not part of any union. We had our own group, West Virginia Public Employees United, and that's where a lot of the fire got started.
And, of course, in West Virginia, we're talking about a strike that involved more than 20,000 teachers and 13,000 school staffers, and in the final analysis, one for all public workers. And I have to say this in the middle of Trump country, where he won 68% of the vote. Were you amazed by that?
It's such an odd thing because West Virginia has only been red for a decade or two. You know, if you sit down and you talk to these people, they don't, I mean, they have conservative values, but they're, you know, they're not fiscally conservative values. They're socially conservative values. And I think, and like, the more you just sit down and talk to these people, they're over it. And like the whole Trump thing, you know, I really in my heart think, you know, these are not people who agree with the type of person he is. These are people who were desperate, just desperate to be recognized in some way. Then, you know, Appalachia feels ignored a lot of the time. We feel like we've suffered for all these years. People have come in and taken the minerals and left us with nothing. And so for him to even show up and even do his little play acting about coal and all that, that was enough for a lot of people just because they had been neglected for so long.
Well, I think what we need to do is have all three of you back and really devote a whole program to looking at the school systems there. I think there's much to learn. And, of course, congratulations to Erica Newsom and our sisters and brothers in West Virginia who set the pace in many ways. And, of course, support for what is happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the school district, the Tucson Unified District in Arizona. And I just want to say that, Derek, as a band teacher in the last 30 seconds, can you do your work? Is there any kind of consideration for the arts and culture within the context of the school system that you teach in?
I'll tell you what I'm dealing with in my work is that I have instruments that are 40 years old that don't work anymore and they're falling apart. I've been forced out of a classroom onto a stage where I have to battle the cafeteria workers for sound. I mean, you know, you're in band. Anyone that's been in music, you understand that listening is important. And it's really difficult to do our jobs whenever we're not in an environment that's conducive. This year in Arizona, we had 100-degree temperatures and no air conditioning.
Well, much more to talk about. Real thanks. It's been great to at least get an introduction to you. We will definitely have you back if you're all willing to come back.
Yeah,
of course.
And we've been speaking with Derek Harris, middle school band teacher, Tucson Unified District in Arizona, and Teresa Danks, third grade teacher, Grimes Elementary School, Tucson, Oklahoma, and Erica Newsom, English teacher, Chapman High School, Logan County, West Virginia. Taught us a hell of a lot for those of us who are convinced that workers have nothing to lose but their chains when they take to the picket line and they take to the strike line.
And we have a world to win.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
And now, Rise Again, written and composed by Tom Jerovich.
I can feel the spirit building, soft as a whisper, but loud as a roar. I can feel something a-stirring like I never have before. We've been quiet too long.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.